Good afternoon, and welcome to the 2014 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration. I'm pleased to welcome you to this midday keynote session, Same-Day Delivery is the New Free Shipping, Competing on the Logistics Battlefield. This session is being sponsored by .com Distribution, a third-party fulfillment and logistics provider. Here today to talk about how small to mid-sized retailers can compete with the big boys when it comes to order fulfillment and shipping is Doug Sternberg, the Executive Vice President of Client Strategy at .com Distribution. Before we get started, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the question and answer box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions later on, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the features on this console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn about the console you're viewing on today. And finally, if you would like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months, beginning on Monday, July 21st. Watch your email for more details. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Doug Sternberg to get us started.
Thank you, Joe, and thanks to everyone participating this afternoon. During today's session, I wanted to take a few minutes to discuss the history of same-day delivery, talk a little bit about the reality today for most retailers, and then review specific things that you can do to leverage operations to compete more effectively against not only same-day delivery, but competition in general. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to attend a trade conference for direct-to-consumer retailers, and there was a leading futurist that was giving the keynote speech at that particular event. And he said something at that point that I think resonates very well today. And basically, he had said that the country is heading towards same-day delivery. And he asked the audience what their companies were doing today to get them there. And the interesting part about that comment is that it was posed by Don Leiby at the annual catalog conference in 1991. So nearly 25 years ago is when the conversation began about same-day delivery. And Don got a pretty interesting reaction from the crowd, and basically we just laughed. We were all of the understanding that the only way that same-day delivery was going to occur is when we had transporters within our distribution centers, and we could beam products to residents' homes, similar to what we had seen in Star Trek. And, Don wasn't really trying to tell us that same-day delivery was going to be with us anytime soon, but he was just trying to push the industry to get faster and faster all the time. And this was at a point in time when the leading catalogers were struggling to deliver within 24 to 48 hours. It was also at a point in time when FedEx was literally inventing 1 and 2 day delivery service. So at that point, FedEx was only in the air business, UPS was only in the ground business, and there really wasn't a good way to get products to residential addresses at all. So as you kind of think about where we are today relative to same day delivery, the more appropriate question that we may want to ask is, will same day delivery continue to gain traction and become an integral process or component of e-commerce businesses? And I think the consensus is that the answer is yeah, absolutely. But another key question is, which retailers will actually be able to take advantage of it, and when is that going to become a reality for those retailers? So while these questions have yet to be fully answered, we do know that large companies are currently mining big data. They are leveraging that information to help increase purchase frequency. And we see that in the grocery and in the consumable industry currently. So it's clearly happening for them. And then, you know, at some point, the sheer convenience of same day is going to potentially be the next great driver for impulse purchases. But trying to put same day delivery into perspective today, you know, we really want to also ask who can really take advantage of same day delivery in a meaningful way today. Clearly, it's not something that you know, is an opportunity for everyone to take advantage of. You know, if you're an organization with a large distribution center, a network of large distribution centers near major cities, you've got a great opportunity to do that. I don't know of too many folks other than Amazon or Walmart that would fall into that category, so that that becomes pretty limiting. I think a bigger opportunity is for retailers that have a large national footprint. If those retailers with stores located throughout the country can provide visibility of inventory into all their stores, and they can provide the space needed to maintain additional inventory and to pick and pack orders, they are going to be able to take advantage of same-day delivery to areas where they have proximity to their stores. And then on a smaller scale, if there are companies with retail outlets in large cities, particularly those that have a higher AOV and margins that support added cost, they can take advantage of low-volume messenger services and deliver locally as well. If your organization does not fall into one of these categories, though, you're really going to have little chance of implementing same day in a meaningful way, in my opinion. So I thought what we could do is kind of start off and just take a real quick look at the history of same day. And basically 1999 was the kickoff. Cosmo, Urban Fetch, and Webvan all entered the marketplace in 1999. In the case of Cosmo, they raised $250 million. The model was to ship small items in major cities by taking advantage of bike messengers and public transportation. And they would deliver small things like video games and books and things of that nature. Urban Fetch was basically a ripoff of Cosmo. And Webvan, probably the best well-known, invested millions of dollars, and rumor had it they placed a billion-dollar order to build out a network of distribution centers, and there's also a network of vans that were running around San Francisco early on. But the common theme for all of these is they were trying to provide same-day delivery, and they were trying to do it with products that had very, very tight margins, and it was impossible to make money. And by 2001, when the bubble burst, they were all bankrupt. And I believe that Amazon actually bought out the remnants of Webvan. So clearly, you know, the message in the early years was it was very, very difficult to offer same-day delivery. So if you fast forward to 2013 and take a look at the companies that are now driving same-day, it's some of the biggest names in the industry. And 2013 seems to be the beginning of the next era in same-day delivery. So in addition to Amazon and utilizing their own distribution hub network, we have other companies such as Google and eBay and others that are supporting same-day delivery through a unique infrastructure that addresses the final mile of the delivery to the consumer. So if you want to take a look at Amazon's model, you know, and I guess Walmart could do this also, but if you can afford to invest billions of dollars in a large network of distribution centers, that's one model. Clearly very limited, though, in terms of who is going to be able to take advantage of that of that opportunity. The bigger opportunity, however, is going to be for retailers with a wide network of retail locations that can partner with delivery services, and we see eBay Now and Google Shopping and Uber Rush getting into this space as well with, you know, limited success to date. But basically, you've got eBay is only in four markets currently. Google is only in L.A., New York City, and San Francisco. And as you can see, Uber Rush is strictly in Manhattan. So it's definitely a very limited opportunity currently. But you do have some of the largest retail brands in the country that have begun to partner with these folks, and we will see that continue to grow and grow as these distribution networks, delivery networks, spread out throughout the country. The question is going to be at what cost and how much of that can be absorbed by margins and or the consumers. In addition to the folks that we are seeing, the big names, there's also smaller companies that are getting into the same-day delivery. And what I've done is just thrown a slide up here representing Hobson. They're a little bit unique. And really the message here is that I think we will continue to see companies emerge in this delivery space that will help to, allow companies to gain entry. So it remains to be seen what this is going to look like, but lots of new things coming and new opportunities. Hobson is kind of unique. Their model is you can buy in store, and they're linked to the POS system, and you can ship to a hotel, you can ship to your home or your office perhaps. You can also buy online, and that's linked to the e-commerce platform, and again, ship to home and office. They started as a shopping bag model where you would go into a retail store, you would place your purchase, they would wrap it nicely in their shopping bag, that would get put into a Hobson delivery sack, and the Hobson delivery team would come and then deliver that to your home or your hotel. The thought behind it was you can go out and continue to shop, and you wouldn't have to carry all your packages around. So just just kind of an interesting twist, and it'll be interesting also to see what the next installment is in this in the new delivery networks. So basically, what we have said is we have limitations from a distribution standpoint today relative to the geographical areas that same-day delivery actually works. But I think it's also important that we begin to understand what the size of the market is, what the size of the opportunity is as well, because there's some compelling numbers here as well. The Boston Consulting Group did a survey not too long ago, and one of the things that they identified was that there was only 9% of respondents that thought that same-day delivery was a very important factor in terms of the online experience. So not a big segment of the population yet. And if you take a little deeper dive, it's really very targeted in terms of the customers that are taking advantage of it. And as you can see here, 18 to 34-year-olds living near a city or in a city with income over $150,000. And when they took a look at those parameters, it really represented about 2% of the market. Granted, those consumers spent substantially more than the rest of the market, but overall, it's still a pretty small number. And then when you layer in what the cost of that that same-day delivery might be, another survey here that really kind of spoke more to same-day shipping, but consumers wouldn't pay more than $10 for that, and the assumption is if it's same-day delivery, it probably isn't going to be much beyond that in terms of customer tolerance. So, you know, the reality is that same-day delivery currently works for a very small percentage of retailers. And it also focuses on a very small segment of consumers. So it would seem that before a company is going to commit IT resources and operations infrastructure it's just really critical that they understand what the opportunity is, what the ROI is, and see if that really is the best place to spend their money. So the next thing that I'd like to just chat a little bit about is really the use of those funds to better drive sales. And we think that utilizing operations and fulfillment is one of the most cost-effective ways to drive incremental sales. So the question is, how do you do that? And we believe you do that by providing the best customer experience that you're able to. So how do you do that? And that's a different answer depending on, you know, your specific business. But what I would like to do is just sort of speak for a minute to a survey that UPS does annually. It's the Pulse of the Online Shopper, and there's some interesting takeaways from that survey. So one of the findings was that only 6% of customers are satisfied with the range of shipping options. And when they took a dive into abandoned cart rates, they identified that 37% of consumers abandoned their carts because the shipping options were listed too late in the process. They knew they needed something delivered quickly, but they couldn't get that commitment from the retailer until they basically gave up trying to place that order. So they essentially abandoned that cart before they found out that shipping option may even have been available. Additionally, half of the customers abandoned due to a long delivery estimate. So the message here is, based on UPS's research, it appears that just by offering consumers more shipping options and communicating to them more clearly, you can drive incremental sales. Clearly an easy fix for most retailers. But in addition to shipping options, I'd like to suggest three additional ways that that operations can drive incremental sales. So again, the focus is providing a better customer experience, and one way that we think you can do that is by utilizing the fastest shipping method that is affordable to you, and recognizing that that's going to be different for all retailers, but however you can afford to ship, you want to pick the most efficient and fastest method possible. A key area in terms of bottlenecks in the distribution center is during the receiving process. And you really need to address things that can slow down that process, create bottlenecks, which are going to be critical, particularly around the holidays. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And we've also seen a number of our clients take advantage of packaging to resell the brand and differentiate them from the competition. And we believe that's critically important, particularly with social media being such an important factor in some companies growing their retail business. So just to kind of get a little bit more specific, we talk about refining your freight strategy as really the impetus for choosing the fastest shipping method that is affordable to you. So this is really defined as leveraging a blend of services that take transit time and your delivery commitment into consideration when selecting the shipping service. So the easiest way to explain that is really to provide an example. So in this example, we're going to assume that there's a guaranteed 3-day delivery commitment to the customer. And we're going to also assume that the distribution center is located in Edison, New Jersey. That's where .com is, so I know the statistics and can speak to those. And we're also going to assume that UPS is the carrier of choice here. And UPS provides a number of levels of service, two ground services. One is a deferred service that leveraged a partnership with USPS, and that's SurePost. FedEx offers a similar service, and that's SmartPost. And then traditional ground service, and then upgraded expedited services as well. So if that guarantee is 3 days, what we would be doing is we would take a look at all of the destination zip codes, and we would look at the transit time to those zip codes, and we would ship all of those via SurePost. In this case, SurePost can be a 2 to 3 day service, and we can get to 50% of the U.S. population within 2 or 3 days. We can then look at traditional ground service and look at the transit time that we can reach in 3 days with ground service, which is a little faster than SurePost. And that represents another 25% of the U.S. population. So we now have reached 75% of the U.S. population with that guaranteed 3-day delivery, which leaves the balance, or another 25%, that we would have to upgrade to 3-day select in this particular case. So these are just, just some examples, but the message here is to figure out what your commitment is going to be to your customer. How quickly do you want to get those packages in-home? And then use a blended selection of services based on the transit time for each to meet that commitment, but do so at the lowest possible cost. So clearly an important element, and for most retailers, freight other than product cost is probably the number one cost to focus on, and this is an area where you can really either deliver products more quickly or lower your cost of shipping dramatically by using that blended combination of services. And then kind of getting back to the UPS survey, offer upgraded options, whether that is next day or Saturday delivery or landed cost for international shipping. The more options that you can provide, the better the chance it is to generate incremental orders. So that kind of covers refine your freight strategy. The next one really goes back to the receiving process and eliminating those potential bottlenecks. So what we always suggest is to make sure that you're working with the factory or your vendors so when they are shipping products that hit your receiving dock, they will allow you to process those receipts as quickly, as efficiently as possible, which means you're going to receive them, you're going to get them into picking locations, you're going to be able to update inventory on your site, and you're going to be able to sell those products more quickly. If you do take back orders, you're going to be able to process the inbound products to support those back orders faster and get them out the door more quickly. So the question is, how do you do that? What do you want your vendors to do before product hits your facility? So basically, you want to make sure that everything is labeled correctly. Products are barcoded. Outer cartons are labeled correctly. They identify what the product is, what the quantity is that's in the box. You want to make sure that there are packing lists that accompany every inbound receipt. Hopefully you have an ability to capture POs or inbound transfers in a PO system so your receiving team can receive systemically against those inbound receipts. But making them do those particular functions, and they're not that hard to do, making delivery appointments if it's coming in through truck is going to allow you to manage your labor more effectively, and again, get those products up on your website more quickly. So one of the things that we suggest is developing a vendor compliance program. So this is a clear outline of what your expectations are from your product vendors. It's communicated clearly. It stipulates what the requirements are, and basically it is geared to alter behavior and get them to follow your guidelines. If a chargeback program needs to be part of that process, that certainly is an acceptable method of holding vendors accountable. if you're working with a third-party logistics company or even your own internal team, they can all help in terms of tracking compliance, capturing the reasons for some of the exceptions, which will allow you to report back to your vendors and you know, work on eliminating the you know, the errors that are creating problems during the receiving process. And these problems are either going to add cost or they are going to inhibit your ability to get these items up online and available to be sold. And finally, packaging is becoming, we believe, more and more critical to reselling the brand and differentiating one brand from another. This is an example. This is a UK retailer, Matches, that really kind of takes it to the next level in terms of their packaging. But what we have seen in our clients is that packaging has become critical, especially with those retailers that rely on social networking to promote their products, where consumers are opening their packages, they are taking pictures of the packages, they're videotaping them, they're putting them up on YouTube, and there's just a lot of traction gained as a result of packaging to differentiate one brand from another. And we think that it really does resell the brand right at that final step. And we think that's becoming more and more important based on the feedback that we're getting from our clients and folks that we're talking to in the marketplace. So we've talked a little bit about limitations of implementing a successful same-day delivery program. We've talked also about refining your freight strategy, eliminating bottlenecks in receiving, and using packaging to enhance the customer experience. But before we get to any questions that you folks might have, I just wanted to identify some quick ideas that you might want to think a little bit about between now and the peak holiday season as it is quickly approaching. So number one is, as you get towards the holidays, you got to have a real solid plan. And what I mean by that is you have to understand exactly what your capacity is during peak days in terms of the ability to pick units and orders and pack and ship those units and orders as well. And you're also going to have to look at your forecast on a daily basis and understand what you think that peak demand is going to be and how it matches up against your peak capacity. So it's very critical that you have a roadmap that you develop based on your projections for demand that allows you to set realistic expectations in terms of when customers are going to be able to get their products. And if you do plan to scale, that plan includes looking at every minor detail, and that plan becomes only as effective as its weakest link. So you can do a great job and have an onboarding program and be able to plan expanding your labor force. You may have enough pack stations to support what you need to do. You may have scanners in place. At the end of the day, if you don't have enough printers printing pack slips, you're only going to be able to ship as many orders as pack slips as you're able to print in a given day. And that's just an example. It could be something as, you know, like a tape gun or a scanner or something like that. The point really is to really start thinking about your plan for the holidays and make sure you're looking at the smallest details. Another real easy opportunity is to talk to your carrier about trying to extend your cutoff. If your current cutoff is in the range of 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, if you can get them to push that to 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, depending on how close you are to their facility, that's just going to have a significant impact. The longer that you can get that cutoff extended to, the more orders you're going to be able to get out on a given day. And if you look at the time between Black Friday and your last shipping day for Christmas, you can literally get thousands of orders out with a reduced transit time simply by moving that that cutoff out by an hour. And speaking of holiday cutoffs, I would also just suggest that you be conservative in your approach for setting expectations in terms of when your customers are going to receive packages for the holidays. I think everybody remembers last Christmas, UPS and FedEx struggled to meet the demand. I think it's important to understand from the carrier's perspective what you can expect from them this year, and would also just caution you to be a little conservative in terms of when you're going to establish your cutoff. It's always important to try to push as many orders as you can out close to Christmas, and this year will be a short Christmas again. But it's not worth it, you know, based on the added cost of customer service, upgraded packages, and just ill will that will result if you you do miss Christmas for your customers. On the topic of freight, dimensional pricing is coming into effect in 2014. You should make sure you understand how that might impact your business. Basically, you want to take a look at packaging and make sure there's no extra air in any of your shipping cartons. That will be very, very expensive next year. And finally, hold your vendors accountable for their mistakes, your product vendors. Develop a compliance program. Put some teeth into it with a chargeback program. You know, the objective is to change behavior, and that is the most effective way to do it and to really make the whole receiving process much more efficient. So that's about all I have for you today. I want to thank everybody for participating. And Joe, I'll turn it over to you for any questions.
Great. Thanks, Doug. Some great information there for everyone. Just want to remind everyone, the attendees here, that you can submit your questions to Doug via the question and answer box that you can find on your console. So we have a couple questions here, and we'll get started. First question here, Doug, is around same-day shipping and your specific experiences from your customer base and talking to prospective clients as well, retailers. What interest have you found from them in offering same-day shipping? And they find it's a big demand from their customers. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty mixed bag. I think that right now, everybody that we talk to, there's a conversation about same-day shipping, same-day delivery. Unfortunately, it really doesn't work on a wide scale for most of the folks that we're talking to, with the exception of those that are retailers that have their own stores. And what we're seeing there is the move is really to offer same-day delivery by shipping from individual store locations. Our clients are all looking at order management systems that will provide visibility to inventory in all locations, and what we're seeing is they're really looking to implement omnichannel and ship directly from stores.
This question then will be sort of a nice segue from your answer to that question, specifically to ship from store. What are some initial steps that retailers can take to setting up a ship to stores program?
Yeah, the very first step is really visibility to the inventory. So there needs to be a mechanism in place that will give visibility to inventory across all of those locations. And really, the only way to do that is through an application, an order management system, if you will, that's specifically designed for that process. So that's kind of step one.
Okay. And then as far as free shipping, do you have any advice or any data around or just maybe some feedback from your retail customers around their experiences using free shipping versus a threshold value to achieve free shipping? What are your thoughts on that? Is one approach better than the other? You know, sort of some of your thoughts.
Yeah, I think based on our client base and the folks that we talk to, I mean, look, free shipping is critical, and we see each and every one of our clients driving sales with free shipping. The question is which flavor works best for, you know, for their particular business, and whether that is, you know, a sale, a blowout sale that is offering free shipping on everything. I mean, that may make sense, particularly if you're looking to liquidate inventory that that may have a shelf life, or it's apparel that you know, has a season that's ending. I mean, clearly there may be a good ROI in that particular case. You know, others are using it more on an everyday basis over a certain threshold, and it generally will be geared towards generating orders that are higher than their standard AOV. So if your normal AOV is $75, you may offer free shipping at $100. And now the profit from that incremental incremental products that you sell are going to help to offset that that free shipping charge. But you know, everybody's interested in it. It really depends on what works for the individual retailer. And of course, you have to take a look at the type of products and the weight of products as you start to think about whether or not free shipping makes sense. If you've got a low margin item and it's heavy, that's really hard to do.
Next question is in regards to if company, you know, free shipping isn't practical from a cost standpoint for a smaller retailer. Are there any advice you can give on some other ways that it can differentiate itself, whether it comes to product fulfillment or other techniques around fulfillment and shipping?
Yeah, and if I understand the question correctly, if we're talking about, you know, companies that are more challenged in terms of their average order value, and if your average order value is $30 or $50, you know, how do you take advantage of different forms of transportation to really drive your cost down? And that's where you have to take a real hard look at some of the deferred services. Some work better than others depending on weights, but there are definitely companies out there that are consolidators. And what they will do is they will offer a service that will work in conjunction with the U.S. Postal Service, and you can really drive costs down significantly. So I'll give you an example. If you're at about a pound, if you're shipping T-shirts, for example, and you can get that package out at a pound or under, you can get a deferred service that could be $2 or $3 cheaper than traditional ground service. So you have to take a real hard look at what those options are, particularly the thinner your margins are.
Okay. As far as in the distribution centers itself, what are some steps that retailers can take now as they prepare themselves for the, you know, ramping up of shipping during the holiday season?
Well, clearly, you know, we're in the throes of planning for peak. You know, it's really understanding what the plan is in terms of products that will be coming in advance of the holiday. So one of the things that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to slot the warehouse and make sure that you have a location for every product that's coming in or every product that you're going to sell. So if you know, for example, that you're going to be adding 1,000 SKUs in September, in support of the holiday season, you want to make sure that your warehouse team understands what's coming in, what those product categories are, how many units you plan to bring in, so they can begin to make sure that there are places in the warehouse to put those that will be efficient in terms of that picking process. You know, this may be the time where you start to take a look at sales across all products, and you begin to reslot your warehouse, meaning that if you have slower moving items, it may be time to move those to areas that are further away from pack stations because you won't need to pick them frequently. So you have places to put the new product that you expect to be the best sellers together closer to the pack station so you can spend less time walking and picking orders and getting more orders out the door quickly.
you mentioned some of the issues that around deliveries last holiday season with UPS and FedEx. What are some points of conversation that retailers can be having with their the carriers around ensuring delivery dates? You briefly touched on that. Can you give some specifics around what they need to be talking about with their carriers?
Yeah, it's really trying to understand what the carrier has done, and it can be specific to certain geographical areas. So if you're talking to UPS, for example, their ability to support your business won't necessarily be exactly the same as their ability to support someone else's business in another part of the country. So you need to understand what are they saying locally about their ability to handle what is expected to be, record volume increases again this year. And then, in terms of the infrastructure to support that volume, how do they anticipate handling that? I mean, the carriers will not be guaranteeing delivery dates. They turn off those delivery guarantees fairly early. But you need to understand what they believe to be is realistic. And then you've got to, you've got to build in some contingencies. And that's where it gets a little tough. It's one thing to say to be conservative and back off delivery commitments, but the reality is every day that you back up your, in-home before the holiday commitment, there's potential sales that you may lose out on. So it's a delicate balance, but you got to understand what the carriers are saying that they're capable of doing, and that's really kind of the starting point.
Okay, great. We're just about out of time, so I want to take this opportunity to thank Doug again for his time, and then also on behalf of Retail Online Integration and .com Distribution, the sponsor of today's session, to thank you, the attendees, for joining us. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during Doug's presentation, I encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And remember, if you missed anything today, the entire virtual show will be archived. The on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting this coming Monday. Thanks, and have a great day, everyone.